instead of me.
Yeah. What means this eager, anxious throng? What moves with busy haste along? This wondrous gathering day by day? What means this strange commotion? In accents hush the throng's reply. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. In accents hush the throng reply. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Who is this Jesus? Why should he? The city moves so mightily. A passing stranger has he skipped. To move the multitude of will. Again the stirring knights reply. Jesus of Nazareth passes by.
In accents hush
the throng reply. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Jesus, 'tis he who once below
the paths we
trod, pain and woe,
and
burden plunged where'er he came, brought out the sick and deaf and blind. The blind rejoiced to hear the cry, Jesus of Nazareth passes by.
Yes, it's the throng reply.
Jesus of Nazareth passes by.
Again he comes
from place to place, his holy footprints weak and trace.
He paws the path of God. He nature's guns and seems to say,
shall we not gladly hear the cry? Jesus of Nazareth passes by.
In
accents hush the throng reply. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Next one is 496. That's enough for me. I know not what God has in store for me within His plan. I do not fear because I know my life is in His hand. I know not what tomorrow brings, sadness or bluer skies, but I am sure I will not step beyond my Father's eyes. I could not say if I will live another day or two, but every day I'll thank Him for the morning that is new. I do not want life's riches here or jewels on my hands, but what I want is God's mere love where weakness ever stands. For God knows what is best for me, He keeps me in His care. And though I travel near and far, His love is everywhere. I do not want what friends will say whenever the road is rough, but it's all right, for God loves me, and that is quite enough. Last one is page 149. I know whom I have believed. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which He's committed unto Him against our day. I know not how the saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word peace within my heart. I know not how the Spirit is convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. I know not what a good or ill reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before His face I see. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Well, today I'm going to talk about something that is been very controversial subject. And the question for me has to do with the unchangeable nature of God. That's what it has to do with me. If God's either God is immutable or He's not. Scripture says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, today I'm going to talk a little bit about this immutability of God. And now He can do anything He wants to do, but there's certain things that He won't do. And there's some things that He cannot do by His own decree. So you're limiting God. No. By His own decree, He says He cannot do it. That's what He says in Hebrews. He cannot lie. That's what it says. And so when people say that He can do anything, you have to measure that up with Scripture. And so, for an example, when Christ was talking to the Pharisees, who came to Him and said, you know, gave Him this scenario about Paul, this guy that had been married and his wife died, and then he remarried, and then his wife died, and then he remarried, and then his wife died, and he remarried. And then they asked him about who will be his wife in heaven. And, you know, Christ was very clear with them that there's no marriage in heaven. You know? And, you know, so, you know, a lot of people have tried to say, oh, well, I'm going to be married in heaven. I'm going to know my wife in heaven, and on and on and on. You know? I want to look at a passage in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, Mark, if you want to look that up. Matthew, 22nd chapter. Let's see what Christ has to say about this. I'm not interested in what people have to say. I'm interested in what Christ has to say. Um, Now notice what in verse 15, Mark, read verse 15.
Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk.
Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Huh. They're going to try to entangle the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're going to try to entangle the Creator of the universe. And then, that same day, read verse 23.
Same day came to him Sadducees that say that there is no resurrection, and ask him.
Now go ahead and read down through verse 27.
Saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall bury his wife and raise him seed after his brother. Now there were with the seven brethren, and the first which he had buried a wife to seed to have another issue left to the wife of his brother. Likewise, he said also at the third and to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also.
Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the... But notice the last part of that verse. What does it say there, Mark, in the last part? Read verse 30 loudly for us.
For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor as the angels of God in heaven.
Or as the angels of God in heaven, meaning that the angels are not married. The angels do not participate in procreation activities. It says when the multitude, verse 33, heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. And when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And so they wanted to try to come back and try to catch him as well. Now I want Mark to go back to the Genesis. The first chapter of Genesis. And and I want you to read, Mark, if you would, verses 26 and 27 of the first chapter of Genesis.
God said, let us make man our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man his own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female created them.
Okay. Now, I want to point out what it says, and then I'm going to point out what it doesn't say. Okay. It says in Genesis 1, verse 27, God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Okay, now, Mark, I want you to read in verse 31. I want you to read verse 31 of chapter 1.
And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day.
And God saw everything that he made. That includes angels, elect and non-elect. That includes male and female. That includes cattle and creeping things and beasts. That includes the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air. That includes all the plants, all the herbs, every fowl, everything. And read for us chapter 2, verse 1.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Finished. The creative work of God was finished regarding the host of heaven. And all the hosts of them. That includes the angels. Read verse 2 for us.
On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from his work which he had made.
Okay. Now, we see here that he also says that on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Okay, so there we go. Now, if we can go back and look at other passages, scripture, we talked about verse chapter 6. I want you to go back to chapter 6 of Genesis. And it says, read verse 1 for us.
It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took their wives of all which they chose.
Okay, I want to say what it does say here and not what it doesn't say. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Daughters were born unto these men. Daughters were not born unto fallen angels. It doesn't say that. It says that, came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the daughters, Mark 3, verse 2.
The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took their wives of all which they chose.
The sons of God saw the daughters of men, not fallen angels. The sons of God, these people that were created in the image of God, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Read verse 4.
There were giants in the earth in those days, also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children of them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown.
It doesn't say these are fallen angels. It doesn't say that they're fallen angels. It says they were men of old, men of renown, is what it says. And it says here that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. It doesn't say it repented the Lord that he had made non-elect angels. It says that it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth. Now, that's really all I have to say about this idea of fallen angels copulating with men. I'll look at one other passage here people like to use. And, just quit changing the Word of God. And now, I want you to go back to Jude, and I want you to read verse 6 of Jude. Jude is verse 6.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, yet preserved everlasting chains under darkness and the judgment of the great day.
Okay, now, notice here it's talking about fallen angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. We know they were cast out of heaven. And it says he's reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great city. And then it goes on and it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. That does not say going after fallen angels. Strange flesh means going after, changing. Speaking there of Romans 1, go back to Romans 1, Mark. Romans chapter 1. This is what it means when it says strange flesh. Read verse 24 of Romans chapter 1.
Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, the lust of their own hearts, and the son of their own bodies between themselves.
And read verse 26.
For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature.
And number 27.
Likewise also the men leave the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is deceivably, and receiving in themselves that recompense for error which is meet.
That's what it's talking about there in the 7th verse of Jude and the 8th verse. About people going after strange flesh. It's not talking about going after fallen angels. Okay. Now, I have another question for the people that want to put forth this argument about women copulating with fallen angels. Have you ever seen a fallen angel? Have you ever seen a fallen angel, Mark? No. I've never seen a fallen angel. And so I think that the scripture is real clear on this issue. I'm not going to belabor my point. There are people that do whole volumes on the Nephilim and this idea that man, women can copulate with fallen angels. Okay, do we have a final selection? 169. Who flung the stars out into space and holds them in their proper place? Who, like a curtain, stretched the sky to make a place for birds to fly? Who sends the wind and sun rain to nourish fields of golden grain? Who forms a seed that makes the wheat and gives us daily bread to eat? Who in the winter sends the snow? Oh, tell me who, if you should know. Who has designed each lovely flake? What wondrous power did it make? Who made the never-ending sea? Who formed the grass, the vine, the tree? Who made the cattle on the hills and creeping things in rocks and rills? Who holds all things within his hands? Who owns all houses, fields, and lands? Who keeps our soul each passing hour? No man has this almighty power. It is the Lord and He alone. Man has no glory of his own. We have no goodness we can claim, so let us publish His great name. He takes a sinner vain and wild and makes him as a little child, subdues his will and guides his feet, and draws him to the mercy seat. Let all creation lift its voice, and in the Lord let us rejoice. Let all His works praise and confess the glory of His righteousness. Well, hope you have a good day and a good weekend. God bless.